Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions and we have answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin. Welcome to another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, which will connect you with one of our internal experts who will provide an answer and/or direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Sometimes these requests are specific to a particular company's needs, but most of them speak to broad challenges facing Bella members in general, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. And joining us once again to answer those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, it's great to see you again. Thanks so much for returning to the show.
Absolutely, Bill. I am delighted to be back and really happy that our Bella community keeps bringing us these questions so that you and I have a reason to hop on and chat about them.
Well, this next question is a terrific one, and it's all about culture. And it reads, what is organizational justice and how can I promote it?
A terrific question, Bill. And it gives me an excuse to quote one of my favorite books by one of my favorite authors, which is, of course, George Orwell's Animal Farm. And organizational justice can be summed up in the sentence, are all the animals equal or are some of the animals more equal than others? That is at the heart of organizational justice as it pertains to culture. And it really comes down to, are the rules the same for everyone? In the event that somebody engages in misconduct, well, are they going to be treated the same way that everybody else is treated? Or are the rules for the highest performing salesperson just a little different than the rules for everybody else at the organization? And that is at the heart of organizational justice. Now, why should somebody care about organizational justice? What we see in our culture data, and we talk about this a little bit in the culture report that we issued earlier this year on closing the speak up gap. In our culture work, we see employees will cite nothing, it would happen anyway, so why should I bother? Or what would happen wouldn't be fair in the top three reasons that they didn't raise their hand when they saw something, along with, of course, the fear of retaliation. So it really comes to that question of how do I demonstrate to my employees that I take issues seriously, I will take action, and the thing I do will be fair and will be fair regardless of, you know, who's engaged in the situation. That is at the heart of organizational justice. And the reason that you want to promote it is because an environment where you don't have a strong sense of organizational justice is an environment where people are less likely to raise their hand, less likely to speak up, and potentially, particularly in this environment we're in right now, where there are so many other channels for a person to go to, potentially will take their concern outside, which is, of course, a disaster from an ethics and compliance perspective, whether they take it to TikTok and you're dealing with a reputational issue, or they take advantage of a whistleblower program like the new one that the Department of Justice has just set up, which is intended to kind of fill in the patchwork of other ways that you can bring misconduct to the attention of the government and get paid for it. So in an environment where you can take misconduct to the attention of the government and get paid for it, you really need to be thinking about how do I shore up my speak up culture internally and make sure it's as strong as possible. So the first thing about promoting a sense of organizational justice is going to be making sure that you actually have one, which I realize sounds kind of crazy, but who's responsible for deciding on discipline at your organization in the event of substantiated misconduct? And then who's responsible for actually enforcing that discipline and making sure that that discipline happens? It is not uncommon, based on our data set, for the disciplinary decisions to be the responsibility of human resources and the individual business unit leaders that are responsible for the part of the business where the misconduct happened. In the event that that is happening, you need to make sure, from an ethics and compliance perspective, that your disciplinary matrix is really specific and well set out, and that you have the opportunity to review discipline on a regular basis to make sure that like cases are handled alike. Otherwise, you're going to potentially wind up in a situation where it's not just a perception that the rules are not the same for everyone. It is actually true that the rules are not the same for everyone because the sales leader in Germany has, you know, defended the high performing salesperson who's actually a bully and a jerk and, you know, has all of these issues that have been substantiated, but nothing can be done because the manager is standing in the way of that person actually being disciplined. So looking at your disciplinary matrix, looking at the ways in which you can make sure that like situations are handled alike across your business, and then telling that story. So making that disciplinary matrix something that you talk about to employees, making sure that you're storytelling when an investigation is finished. Those are some of the things that are going to help you cultivate that organizational, that sense of organizational justice across the business. But the first step is really making sure that you have it, and then you can promote it.
We talk an awful lot about sister functions, kind of working closely with compliance and ethics. And certainly this is a great opportunity to connect with HR because the cost of personnel churn attached to a lack of organizational justice is simply too high to be discounted.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are listening in audio only format, what you missed there was me emphatically nodding to what Bill just said, you know, doing my best impression of a bobblehead. Yes, emphatically, yes. This is a situation where that close working relationship with human resources is critically important. And if that is something that you are seeking to cultivate right now, we have some great data in the sphere on what it looks like to have those kind of cross-functional disciplinary meetings, what it looks like to have a strong process for substantiated misconduct, both from the perspective of who actually decides on discipline, how do you check on discipline, how do you make sure discipline's actually happening when discipline is decided upon, all of those critical pieces. There's benchmarking data there for anybody who's listening in and would like to get their hands on some.
Well, Erica, thank you so much again for coming back on the show. I always get so excited when we receive these questions, and I get really excited to hear what your answers are going to be. And I know everybody in our audience does too. So once again, thanks so much.
Oh, Bill, it's absolutely my pleasure. This is one of my favorite things that I have the opportunity to do. And so to all those Bella members out there, keep the questions coming, and Bill and I will come back and answer some more.
To learn more about Bella, please visit bella.ethisphere.com to request guest access to the Bella Member Resource Hub and to speak with a Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you'd like to see answered on Bella Asks, be sure to use the Bella Concierge service, and we'll get to that question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been a special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.